Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Comic Book Club! And now, here are your hosts, Justin Tyler, Pete LePage, and Alex Zalbin!
Hey!
Yeah.
All right! Yeah!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are very excited to have you here at this show tonight. This is going to be a big show. We
have a big show.
Big news. Totally prepared for the show. We've all seen Captain America 2.
Yep, that's the responsible comic book fans do that.
Except for Justin, who didn't
I definitely saw it.
It?
I saw a lot.
Stephen King's It? You watched the entire miniseries?
Yeah. It's
glow. How was it?
So the reason you didn't see it is you have a life outside of comics?
I'm living my dreams. I had a wedding.
Ooh, you got married?
No, not my own. Oh. I would screen cap at my wedding if it was coming up.
Well, did you explain to them divorced. When you went to this wedding, when they ask, does anybody have anything they want to say?
Yeah,
did you say, I have to go see Captain America 2?
Yep.
Because
and
that's
then appropriate. Then they did get married, which that's going to haunt them and me, I imagine, for the rest of all of our lives.
Wow.
I hope you're happy. I'm really sad that I haven't seen it. Honestly, I honestly tried to see it yesterday, and I was going to have to leave for a half an hour during the movie. Then I was like, what the fuck?
You can't do that.
Half see it.
I don't know. It's the middle half an hour is pretty boring.
Yeah?
No.
Oh, man.
It's awesome.
I knew I was going to be really feeling it tonight.
All right. Speaking of feeling it, we're really feeling the guests that we have here.
We're hooked on a feeling.
Yeah. Oh, Guardians of the Galaxy reference. I get it.
See?
Nice. It's pretty
I've
good.
Seen a lot of trailers. You can watch those on your own time.
I'm very excited to have him here. There's some big news that we're going to talk about, as well as some awesome projects that he's working on. He's the Senior Vice President Publicity for Archie Comics. Close enough. Ladies and gentlemen, Alex Segura!
Yeah!
Close
Welcome
enough.
To the show, sir. Welcome
yes.
back.
Welcome All back. Right.
Thanks for having me. Short notice.
Hey, no, we're happy to have you.
We always chase the news. You know, we're like ambulance chasers.
Yeah,
like we're really
vague
headlines.
You guys were about why I was here.
No,
we're very excited to have you. In case you guys didn't hear, and I don't know if this even counts as a spoiler. Is it a spoiler?
Go ahead, yes.
Yeah.
No, when you issue a press release, it's spoiler free.
Yeah, we didn't even put a spoiler warning on the press release, so we're good.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So Archie of Archie Comics, the titular character,
yes.
is going to die.
Oh.
He is going to die in July. He will die.
Die awesome. In
did
July.
You July. Did you choose July because it rhymed with die?
Yes, and because that's just how it ended up. It'll happen in the last issue of Life with Archie, which is, if you've been reading it, it's kind of a flash-forward series of Archie as an adult. So you see him married to Betty in one timeline and married to Veronica in a timeline. Another thing that nobody's really noticed is the timelines merge in that last issue.
So it's kind of like a Crisis on Infinite Archies.
Yes. Without the Anti-Monitor, without Supergirl, without any of that. But just like that.
Just
everything
else.
Okay, when you say the timelines merge, so in one, for those of you who don't know, a couple of years back, they married Archie to Betty and also married Archie to Veronica and then followed both of those timelines.
Right.
So he's a polygamist in this new timeline, and that's how he dies?
It's actually handled really, really well. We don't out and out say who he's chosen. You know, you don't see him walk home and get home, and Betty's there or Veronica's there. But it's done in such a way where all the beats from both storylines kind of merge together. Like Kevin Keller is a big player in both stories. Kevin Keller and his wedding, he was married in both storylines. So it really plays out nicely. We don't give anything away as to who he marries. But
so you're saying it doesn't matter who you marry in your life?
It doesn't matter to him because he's dying.
Doesn't matter because he's dying. Okay.
Yeah, he's dying in that issue anyway. So
he's like,
it's all resolved anyway.
And does the Punisher show up and kill him? I don't want to spoil it, but
the Punisher joins Kiss and they kill him.
Nice.
Thus closing the Archie universe forever. The circle.
Yeah, circle is complete. Yeah.
So behind the scenes, I know from talking to John Goldwater, the CEO, a little bit, that this is something you guys have been talking about for a while. But when did you come into the conversation, and what was the behind the scenes of that like?
It's kind of funny because at least my career track has ping-ponged between DC and Archie. So one of my last meetings at Archie the last time I was there was, hey, we're going to kill him, or we're thinking of killing him. And that was like 2 years ago.
Wow.
And you're like, don't do that.
Yeah, I was like, don't do that yet. John was like, well, your eyes lit up in that meeting, and then you left. But then I came back, and this story was still on the table. It was actually such a long game. Yeah. They knew that at the end of the series he was going to die, and they had planned it out so far and ahead. I mean, the book's called Life with Archie, so it's only fitting that it ends with his death. And so by the time I came back, I knew that was in play. And so that's when you and I started. I think it was maybe my second day when I gave you a call and said, hey, do you guys want to announce this? It would be really cool. So yeah. They've been planning it for months, years. So,
how many different ways did you come at killing him off?
This is so sad.
It's really sad.
Benny, I'm really feeling it. He's not going to be old.
He's older than, like, the classic, like, teenage.
Yeah, but how old? He's, like, in his 30s?
He's, like, mid-20s.
Fuck! Ooh, yeah. I'm older than that!
Yes,
a couple of years.
It is it's a bummer. It's not a happy story. But it's done in such a way. John always knew that he wanted him to die heroically, you know, and die saving one of his friends' lives. This is really depressing. Yeah, he dies saving one of the Archie cast members' lives. Whether it's Betty, Veronica, Jughead, we haven't revealed
that
yet.
Is it Moose?
It is not Moose or Midge, I can tell you that.
Is he double booked to save both Betty and Veronica on one night? And he has to choose?
One is at the chocolate shop, one is at Mr. Lodge's
right.
house.
And he dies ripping himself in half.
Yeah. The ultimate death in between. They tear him apart and then feast on his entrails.
I think you're reading Afterlife with Archie.
Oh, yeah. Yes. That's great, though. Yes. That's one of my favorite books, actually, on the stands right now. Very good.
So you announced this today. I was reading on Twitter, you were saying by 11 a.m. you already had a bunch of death threats for yourself.
I guess it's Kill the Messenger. So being the one that was tweeting it out or getting the news out there, I got a lot of, you killed him. I can't believe you killed him. You're a murderer. And it was all in jest, I hope. I mean, so far, so good. I'm still alive. And that was around 11 this morning, so not bad.
Yeah. Great. And guys,
you're living on the edge, man.
If you're listening at home, it's 11:01 right now.
Yeah,
right.
So we'll see how this podcast goes out.
Well,
don't jinx it.
So you have issue 36, where he dies heroically, and then the last issue of Life with Archie is issue number 37?
Well, the way it works is, if you know, Life with Archie is a magazine-sized newsstand publication. It's also available in comic shops. What we did to really entice as many people as possible is we have 36 of the magazine, which is like a standard Life with Archie issue, and then we have two comic-size issues. And so we're splitting up the contents of the magazine into two comic-size issues. So, you still with me? 37... is a second comic size issue, and that's a flash forward to a year later, not to be confused with 1 year later.
Right, totally different.
Right, totally different. Not like that at all. But basically, what that is we just didn't want to do like a funeral scene, an extended funeral or an extended wake. It's you're going to catch up with Betty, Veronica, Jughead, and all the characters, and just see what they've been doing. So, cool. Crying.
We'll see. Yeah, you get to.
Awesome. That sounds like a lot of fun to read.
It's very upbeat. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, one thing that I did see people tweeting about a lot was like, oh, great, even Archie can't escape grim and gritty comics. Was that a concern for you guys at all?
Well, it's funny. I saw some people were going back and forth about, well, this doesn't really matter because it's an alternate universe and it doesn't matter as much as, say, the death of Superman, which if you really go back and look at it, the death of Superman was reversed in less than a year, which is actually a long time for comics. Mm-hmm.
So you're saying we're going to get four different versions of Archie?
We are. The Reign of the Archies is going to start in August.
That's terrible.
Which one is real?
Yeah, there's going to be a young Archie with sunglasses and a...
That's a pretty risky choice, putting him in sunglasses.
Yes, it's very retro. But I guess, you know, we're not going to revisit the storyline. So this has very much been treated like, how would Archie die? If we had to sit down and map it out and show how he's going to die, this would be it. You know, dying in a heroic way, saving one of his friends. And it's not something we're going to go back to, so it's not something we're going to really retcon. So to me, that stands the test of time a lot more than a random superhero death.
I would think he would die in a jalopy accident. But I guess that's just me.
That's still possible.
Yeah, I guess he'd get shot drive and be like, darn this jalopy.
I mean, maybe
everyone
it's like
else is driving Kias, and I'm driving this jalopy.
It's a Prius now.
Is it really? No. Oh, I was going to say, that's pretty progressive.
Very progressive. Yeah.
You're more upset about that than him dying.
Yeah, well, he's driving an outdated car. Everyone's got to get on the electric train. He's still putting, like...
I mean, he's still got time. There's still a few issues left.
Yeah. He's going to really... Yeah.
Maybe that'll be a priority before he gets.
So well, it's good. Very.
What number are we on right now?
Now you're putting me on the spot. I think we're on 32.
Okay, well, we still got a little bit.
Yeah, we still... It's a monthly book.
Give some time with Archie.
All right, good.
Yeah.
And there are other comic books with him, too.
So after 37, though, is the comic going to continue, but in a different form?
No, Life with literally and figuratively, Life with Archie will be over. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, that was the saddest thing I've ever heard.
It is. But, you know, we've got something, we're still figuring it out, but something that will fill that kind of void as far as...
Life with Jughead.
Jughead without Archie.
It's going to be Death with Archie and just black pages that are published every month.
Every month. Yeah.
Have you thought of having, like, a bunch of people go to Times Square and pour out milkshakes in his honor or anything like that?
I'm really, you know, we had a really good publicity problem today.
Uh-huh.
In that the press kind of exceeded what we expected. We thought it would be a big day. We thought people would react strongly, but the attention we got was insane. And a lot of it was coming from a really emotional place, like people just saying, how could you do this? But then still invested and curious to read the story, because the story delivers. That's the whole point. I think what John Goldwater, our CEO, kept saying was, we wouldn't have done this if the story wasn't good. You know, it is getting attention. It is going to do what it has to do in the press. But if the story doesn't deliver, then there's no point.
So that's a yes on the milkshakes.
Yes, okay, yes, that's my passive way of saying.
Really turn that around on you.
Yeah. Now you guys have a lot of other stuff going on at Archie, other than killing off the main character. Yeah. You mentioned Afterlife with Archie, which we love.
Yeah, it's really
very
awesome.
Good book.
Yeah. So is that
for those of you not reading it? It's a straight up zombie horror book where Archie is a lot of the Archie people are going to be just murdered, just ripped apart by zombies.
They are murdered.
Many of them already are. And it's beautifully drawn by Mr. Francavilla. What's his first? How do you pronounce
Francesco.
It? Francesco Francavilla. It's awesome. Very good book.
You didn't have a problem with Francavilla, but you had a problem with Francesco.
Well, there's a lot of similar letters. It doesn't seem plausible.
But I like how you just resigned yourself to saying his last name.
Well, I said Mr., which is a term of respect.
Totally exactly.
In that book, you have zombies. Obviously, but there's a lot of other taboo stuff that you're pushing there.
Why did I know this was coming?
Yes. Yeah, no.
These are the real hardballs on a comic book podcast.
I'm getting grilled.
Yeah,
are the zombies fast or slow? Come on!
We have to know. So I am curious if that was sort of a directive of the book beyond making it zombie horror book instead of the Archie universe, if it was really to push the characters as far as you could go.
I mean, I don't want to... The team is so great. Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa, who's our new CCO, and Francesco is an amazing artist. I think the goal for the book was just to present Archie in a different way. I mean, there was never really that bridge book, because as a kid, if you read Archie, then you just jumped to Spider-Man or, you know, Superman. At least that's how it worked for me as a kid growing up reading Archie. There wasn't really an aged-up book that you could graduate to, and that's kind of what Afterlife is. It's really a direct market book. It appeals to the superhero reader. And then there's so many layers to it. It's not just, oh, zombies are attacking. A lot of people think it's a limited series. It's not.
Yeah, I think
there's
that's
a long
amazing.
Game going.
And they're leaving Riverdale. They're going to go to like somewhere like Paris.
I mean, Roberto has stuff planned out way in advance, and it really goes beyond that initial arc. So, I mean, we've already lost Moose, we've lost Jughead, we've lost Midge. I'm losing track of somebody. I think Archie's dad in issue 4. So
Dilton.
Dilton's still around.
Is he?
Yeah, he's still chugging along. Huh. Yeah, he's
chugging smart. Along with Dilton.
Cool. Now, the other thing you're doing is you're editing the Red Circle books for Archie now.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, what are the Red Circle books?
What's funny, Archie has a superhero universe that, you know, it kind of launched around the same time as Marvel and DC in the Golden Age, and it's kind of hopped around. DC had the license for a while. Archie has tried relaunching it a few times. So my mandate has been to just kind of revamp the characters and really focus on book by book, not do a 10-title relaunch all at once, but we're focusing on some of the darker characters at first, characters like Black Hood and the Hangman. We're looking at the Shield, and hopefully that'll build up at some point to a Crusaders book. But that's just kind of long-term stuff that I'm going to get bitten. You know, it's going to bite me later for having said it now. But that's the goal. Yeah.
Great.
Cool. And last thing, you have a novel that you wrote, Silent City, right?
I do, yeah. It's a mystery novel set in Miami, where I'm from. It's about this washed-up journalist called Pete Fernandez, and basically it's... he's kind of hit a wall. He's at a dead-end job. His dad has just passed away. His fiance's just left him. This is really depressing.
Yeah,
talking
okay.
about the death of Archie and this really depressing mystery novel.
You've nosedived, real.
But, he's kind of hit his bottom, and a coworker says, hey, I need your help to find my daughter. So this quest kind of reinvigorates him, and he gets into the search for this woman that he kind of knows socially, but that ties into this really deep urban legend that's been permeating through Miami, this kind of mob killer. It all ties together, and he's way over his head. So how was that elevator pitch? Not bad.
That was good.
Yeah, that was pretty
good. I liked it.
Yeah.
Cool. Great.
My work here is done. Nice.
Yeah. No. Good job. Thanks for coming on. Get out of here now.
That's it.
Yeah, that's the way we do it.
You are bored.
That's how we always say to our guests. Yeah. That's how we close
out. Out you go.
Cool. Where can people pick up Silent City?
You can pick it up pretty much anywhere online. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, all those things.
Great. And the Red Circle books are ongoing. Life with Archie 36 comes out beginning of July.
July, yep.
All right, very cool. Okay, guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call The Stack.
Yeah.
And in The Stack, we're going to talk about some books that came out this week that we particularly liked, starting with Pete's pick, which is Ultimate Comics Spider-Man number 200.
Yeah.
I'm a little scared about the reason that Pete liked this. I don't think he's ever picked this book before. I'm going to guess. Can I guess why you liked it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Did it have something to do with the fact that it's not having anything to do with main Marvel Comics continuity Spider-Man?
Yeah, that was part of it, yeah.
Okay.
Was it the word ultimate?
Yes, also true, yep. Ah. Yeah.
Yeah, so this is the last Spider-Man comic.
Right.
Because ultimate means last.
Sure.
That's great, he's got you there.
I was just really hungry, and they have a really nice food spread in this issue, and I was like, oh man, this is awesome.
You knew that before you bought the book?
Yep.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. If you got an inside track.
He reads the menus in the previews book.
Yeah. No, I just thought this was a really kind of touching issue that I really liked. I mean, we're dealing with, in Spider-Man's world, his rebirth, if you will. So I thought it was kind of interesting that we had a funeral.
Can I interrupt really quick?
Yeah,
so
sure.
The idea of this book, this is out of continuity. Spider-Man story, you might find some of this a little familiar. Spider-Man, Peter Parker, died about a year ago.
Yeah.
And this is all of his friends coming together a year later to pay tribute to him and talk about his life. Okay. And it's a little bit of an art jam.
It's a dark show.
It's a dark show.
It's a dark show. Well, we're all going to die.
Oh man!
Yeah, I know. Jeez. I'm gonna die. I'm gonna choose between my Betty and Veronica.
Oh man!
And just dive in front of huh?
What does that make me?
Oh, you can be Midge.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that
an insult?
Midge, yeah.
Midge, I don't know. That's nice. Jughead lusts after you.
That's true.
This he also lusts after hamburgers.
Well, she has
nothing
a
wrong with that.
She smells like ketchup, probably.
There you go.
Anyway, there was a point to what you were saying before you got really derailed.
I really don't remember.
We're talking about this book, so
this
a funeral.
Is following up a year later. That's kind of the context for the book. Anything else you want to talk about it with Pete?
No, I just thought it was really cool to see like everybody be like, if they kind of controlled Spider-Man, what they would do with him. I thought those splash pages were really kind of really cool and very unique to each person. I think it was Kitty Pryde's was kind of hilarious. And also kind of a really touching moment with Gwen Stacy and that Asian dude that I really liked. I thought that was cool.
That guy.
You'll figure out his name.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he brings a present to her, and we don't actually get to see what it is, which
but
I find...
He made it himself for her, though.
I find very frustrating. This is a classic Brian Michael Bendis move, where a character brings a thing, and we don't ever get to see what it is.
It's kind of like Pulp Fiction, where you open up the box, and it was like, whoa.
Yeah, what do you think? Yeah. Was it Marcellus Wallace's soul?
Yeah, yep. Probably. Yeah.
He's like, I got you a soul.
Huge spoiler. I got you Marcellus Wallace's soul.
And that's why she was like, I better go put this in my room.
Yeah.
She ran upstairs.
This is a fictional... Yeah.
Have you been reading this book, Alex?
I have, yeah. I'm a big Bendis fan. I mean, it's kind of amazing it's gone 200 issues. Just
Ultimate,
yeah. It's ultimately run for 200 issues, but he's been really lucky just with artists like Sarah Pacelli and David and Bagley for however long. But, yeah.
Yeah.
No, this is a nice way to cap it.
Yeah,
totally. Well, I mean, he's continuing with a all-new Ultimate Spider-Man
Miles
book
Morales
or something like that.
Yeah.
Miles Morales, Ultimate Spider-Man.
Great. Throw some more words up in there.
Totally. If you haven't been reading it, by the way, Miles Morales is a young kid, took over the mantle of Spider-Man, has slightly different powers, kind of a different perspective, and is a very cool new young
cool
kid.
Cool dude.
He's cool a cool dude. He's a little rude. But he does machines.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
there you go.
Like
that actually is all
synergy.
True.
Yeah, it is. That's nice.
Yeah, he's like all four TMNTs in
no,
one.
No, I think he needs to lead a little bit more. He needs
Does he love pizza?
A little more Leonardo.
Huh? Yeah.
I mean, I would imagine. Yeah. He needs a real mentor.
This is a great book. Definitely pick it up.
It is very good.
Yeah, there we go. Actually, one thing to talk about. Right at the end, there's a little thing where everybody's leaving Peter Parker's house, and there's somebody watching in the distance.
Yeah.
Who do you
somebody
think that
is? In the bushes.
Yeah.
It's Kane.
I like to think it's
Kane.
Bane? That would be a turn.
Well, that would be weird, yeah.
I
like to think
Spider-Man.
Maybe it's the reader.
Think about it. You read Moon Knight number 2. Oh, this is Justin's pick, also from Marvel Comics. Want to talk about this one a little bit?
This comic was... Is anyone reading this? Yeah. This comic is so fucking good. It was the one of the best ones in months I've read. It's Warren Ellis is writing it. Jordi Belair is doing the art. And it's just a perfect synergy of artist and writer. I feel like this is only the second issue. The first issue was sort of a different take on Moon Knight. He was wearing a suit. He was real chatty, and he was in the sewers a lot. Yeah. This one, much more superheroic, and it's much more of an actual... sort of crime story. The art is beautiful in this.
Yeah, it's really amazing.
Yeah, it's Declan Shalvey and Jordi Belair.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, together. But it's the way it starts is we meet all these characters and you don't quite know what's happening, and the way he structures the panels is just so smart.
To talk about that very specifically. So the first couple of pages are a 9-panel grid.
It's
one of the panels is white where there's text in it, and every page one of those characters in each panel of the grid gets killed.
Yeah.
And when they get killed, their panel goes white, and then there's text in that panel. And one by one, those characters get eliminated until Moon Knight shows up and not exactly tries to figure out what's going on, but tries to stop it.
He knows something up because so many people keep getting shot.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a real detective.
Yeah.
He puts it together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was such a heartbreaking way to start the issue. Like, hey, care about this character, now they're dead. Care about this character, now they're dead. I was like, holy shit.
You saw it coming after a while.
We're all going to die, Pete.
God, yeah, that's the real lesson of this show.
But I also love the line he says. He's like, the sniper's like, how come I can't hit you or kill you? And he was like, because I'm not real. Like, what?
Imagine, when I read that, I was like, fuck, imagine someone saying that to you. In any way,
I felt like
if you walked past someone in the street and they were like, "I'm not real," you'd be like, "One, I went crazy. I went crazy like a week ago, and I'm still crazy."
Yeah,
that's what I would think.
Yeah, I kind of felt like a small character looking over a bush at the.
You thought the reader was watching. Yeah. The reader was in there.
I feel like this is the first iteration of Moon Knight that I've really liked.
Yeah,
there's been a couple of different takes at it, and this is one. You know, they're building towards a greater story. That's something that they teased a little bit in the first issue. But that Warren Ellis is really doing every issue as a done-in-one and almost a different take on Moon Knight every issue, which ties into the character who has multiple personality disorder. Yeah. It's fantastic so far.
I mean, he doesn't negate anything that's come before.
Yeah.
I think he, in the first issue, which I liked a lot, he sets it up in a way, in a few lines. He's like, I had a lot of personalities, I went crazy, and then I died, and here I am. It was just, Ellis has a way of summing up a character and then just pushing forward. He's done it before.
Yeah.
The art's beautiful.
This is nothing against his other Marvel work, but this is the first Marvel work he's done in a while where it really feels like his heart and soul are in it.
Yeah.
It almost feels like he was doing work for hire a lot, but here he's been given free rein, and it's great.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Also, the cape work in here is pretty awesome as well. I love the use of the cape in here.
I wonder who's on the cape work of this issue.
I don't know.
That's the hardest.
You got to check out Pete's site, which is foodspreadsandcapework.com. It's good stuff.
He really breaks down a ton of great comics.
All right, let's move on with my pick, which is Black Science, number 5.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think we've actually ever talked about this book on the show,
though...
Yeah, we have. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you. That's our fact checker, actually, in the audience right there.
Don't be offended. You're the reason?
You're the reason I fell in love.
Aww. Great. Kiss. Yeah. We did talk... I think maybe we talked about the first issue.
All right. Whatever it is, it's actually been a slow burn for me, this series. The idea of it... It's, would you call it Sliders, but a little dark?
Yeah, I would call it like Dark Sliders.
Yeah, Dark Sliders.
The Dark Sliders.
So the idea is these scientists build
that thing. An elevator pitch.
Yeah.
It's like Dark Sliders, and the answer to that elevator pitch is no thank you.
No thank you. This is...
No thanks, Jerry
Stop
O'Connell.
Stop saying sliders. Yeah. You're
How did you
me
get
hungry.
In this elevator?
Yeah. Who was... Was it his cousin? Was it his little brother who replaced him several seasons
ago? Weirder O'Connell that has a... He has a weird face.
He does.
His actual brother replaced him on the show?
Yeah.
Well, he joined the cast, and Jerry O'Connell left the cast, and then they got... stuck with a weird stretched out face brother.
Yeah.
And a couple of random people.
Dude,
who
I totally forgot that.
So he's got a stretched out face. I mean,
well, that's when Sliders moved from primetime over to sci-fi back when it was SCI. All right, we should stop.
Wow.
So the idea of this book is they build this alternate dimension thing called the Pillar. Mm-hmm. It, of course, gets broken, sucks all these scientists and their kids and their mistresses and their boss and all of these various people through these various dimensions. The past couple of issues, we've seen them fall through these different dimensions, almost get killed. It has felt to me like almost every other alternate dimension story. But here, in this issue, the main character's kids get kidnapped, but by the kids' parents from an alternate dimension who have said, in every dimension, your dad has let you die. Come and stay with us. You have to stay with us. This is doomed to fail.
Wow.
You guys are going to die otherwise. And this is the first issue that it's really crystallized for me.
I mean, first off, that's bad parenting.
Yeah. Yeah.
No matter whose kids they are.
Yeah.
I wish we would have picked lighter comics to talk about this week.
This is the bummer edition.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, sorry. No, it's all right. There's a lot of fun stuff in here. There's like a lot of like punching and missing teeth, and there's some aliens that get killed. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Well, what did you guys think about this book?
Well, first off, the art is amazing. I think when you're creating such a cool world, the art really kind of pulls you in and gets you on board very quickly. And I feel like there's so much going on with all the different dimensions and the different parents and all that stuff.
There's
like
a lot of
having amazing art kind of keeps it grounded even in such a crazy world. So
hey, Pete.
Yeah.
Your beer is so close to Paulie.
Yeah, why are you playing that
game? That's not going to end well.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, wow. Though I will say it's hard to tell the characters apart sometimes in this book.
Well, it's the same parents, just from different dimensions.
Oh,
so,
right. No, I know that. There are a lot, but there are a lot of characters
Do
often
Do you know what
wearing...
it is? They're all wearing those head socks.
I was going to say, they're all wearing helmets.
Yeah, so you can't tell them apart.
Ah.
Yeah, but some of them have those little circle patches.
They
on
all
them,
have circles on them.
Yeah, little circle patches.
Yeah, so how do you tell those apart?
Well, then you know their parents.
Name a single character in this book.
Circle patch mom.
Nope.
Circle patch dad.
Nope, that's not
and then
accurate.
There's
that's
the two
their,
kids.
I don't know if that's their
Patchy
Christian.
And circles.
No, Patchy. Yeah. I think that kid's name is Patchy.
Yeah.
Circle Patchy and that's it.
And Patchy Circle. Have you been reading this book?
I have. And I think you're right. It is a slow burn. Mateo's art is beautiful. I think Remender really... Sci-fi is his strong suit. I think the world building. It's a kind of book you read the first few issues and you know this is a long game. It's not something you can just do one and done.
He loves alternate dimensions.
Yeah,
it's every book he writes.
Well, he said this is a spiritual sequel to Fear Agent. Fear Agent
was
I think
it's totally similar to Fear Agent, which I liked a lot.
So. Yeah, and Fear Agent. One of the things that was so great about that, if you've never read that book, the initial idea was a guy who's an alien exterminator, essentially. Yeah. He goes through the universe, gets rid of alien infestations. And by the end, it was this intergalactic, extra-dimensional, time-traveling war that he was at the center of. Very depressing. And he, in Fear Agent, the main character, Heath Houston, gets put through the ringer so many times. When you think things have not gotten bad enough, they get even worse. And this feels like that, too.
Yeah, he's going to put these poor people through so much.
Yeah. But so, I can't wait to read it.
So, guys, the lesson here today is hop on the misery train and read some comics.
Let's get sad together.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's a fun comic, you guys?
Adventure Time.
Goof Party? You guys reading Goof Party?
Goof Party. I don't know. They killed off Goof in the last issue.
Yeah.
But the party was awesome.
That was a great party.
That's it for the staff.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We're going to move to our next section, which is audience questions. And for that, I'm going to go out to you guys.
The audience.
So
the
come
audience,
up with some questions.
People. So here's what we need from you. You're going to come up with questions about anything about geek stuff, comic book stuff. And in return,
Archie stuff.
If you have a question specifically
personal
for Alex,
stuff.
You're over here. That's great. And we're going to give you a stack of free comics in return just for asking a question. That's all you have to do. So if you have a question, please raise your hand and we'll come over to you and hand you some free comics. You, sir, over there, come on up to the microphone.
What would you say to someone who's really not interested in Archie and doesn't see why they should be interested in Archie to get them interested in Archie?
Whoa.
Go fuck yourself.
Shot across
fuck
the
you.
Wow
dude, you got really angry.
Dude, I didn't want to speak.
Man,
no, that was good.
Man,
that was good.
What a Reggie. Am I right?
Yeah, what a Reggie.
I got, you sent out that press release this morning. It was, if you don't like Archie, go fuck yourself.
Yeah,
so, see,
that was the headline in reverse text. I think the way Archie's changed probably in the last 5 years is that it's not just a classic, hey, Archie's in high school drinking chocolate shakes with Jughead in the malt shop. We have Afterlife, which is very much a zombie book, similar to The Walking Dead, but tonally a little different. And stuff with Life with Archie, it's basically soap opera. It's not really a humor book. There's a lot of very mature, depressing things that happen.
It's just, and it's Alex not, it's is not, in charge of them.
It's
so.
Not that funny. And we are relaunching our superheroes. We have stuff like Sonic and Mega Man, which is, you know, it's not just for gamers or kids. I mean, there's crossovers. It's I think the variety is what's changed in the company over the last 5 years, and I think there's something for everyone, which whereas before it was really just for the kids.
Ooh. And from an outside perspective, I got to say, like, no other company takes risks with their characters like Archie does. Like, they're like, oh, yeah, we're going to tell a story where he dies. Like, that's insane. Imagine, I mean, Marvel kills Spider-Man every couple, like every year,
days.
Basically. But you know he's going to come back, and I believe you when you say, like, this is how Archie dies in this.
I mean,
this is the end of that story, and then we're going to move past it, and we're going to tell another interesting story in this way. And
yeah,
I think
Archie's
that's
got
to
come back. You can't have
well, they have another,
Archie.
Huh?
Yeah.
Well, he's not going away totally. I mean, there's still Archie the teenager. There's Afterlife with Archie, and there will be another kind of Archie, but this Archie, this definitive kind of future Archie, that's it.
Yeah, there's Archie the real person who lives on the Upper East Side.
Oh, man, I love that guy.
He's still alive.
He's still alive. We're not killing
well,
him.
Well, to your point, though, I would also say that there's a bunch of things that Archie has done over the past year, and also to contrast it with other comic book companies, things like introducing Kevin Keller, who's like, hey, we're introducing a gay character. Lots of companies do that where they have a superhero comes out as gay and then they disappear.
Yeah.
Completely. On the other hand, with Archie, I think Kevin Keller has been one of your big successes, right?
Well, we wanted to integrate him and, you know, treat him like any other character, like Jughead or Moose or Midge or whatever. He's part of the cast. He's got his own book. He's part of the, you know, he shows up in other books. He's in other iterations of Archie. He's in Afterlife. You see him in the first few issues. And you see him, he got married in Life with Archie, which is a future storyline. I think it all goes back to story. If the story's good and it, it supports the character and these ideas, and we push it forward. It's not a publicity stunt. And when a publicist tells you that, it's a good sign. We do these things because they're interesting, and then that begets publicity. So.
And if you don't know about it, let's get a little taste. Hamburgers, hats, jalopies, proms, funny principles. Come on, get the fuck on board.
Did I convince you or no?
Yeah.
Did I convince you?
Did I? I didn't say that much, but I'm happy to convince you. You, sir, over there, please come on up.
I did.
Or I will try to come over to you. Here you go.
Hey, and this will go to any of you guys, but what kind of genres would you like to see the Archie cast in? Horror,
nice.
Future?
Oh, man, I'd love to see, like, some sort of funny, old-timey America-type comic. Really
good
90s.
Yeah, like, really bring it back. You know,
yeah,
that would be
90s,
cool.
90s,
super
60s.
Retro.
Yeah, something like that.
I'd love to see, like, an Archie noir. Like,
yeah.
Not done in a cheesy way, but actually like a very, I mean, it would merge all the things I like in comics, just a very gritty Archie crime story.
Let me soft pitch you. What about Game of Proms?
Game of Proms.
Where there's a battle to see who's going to go with Archie to the prom.
So would Archie be Ned Stark?
I hope not.
That would be
yeah, so there'd be like House Lodge, House Andrews.
Yeah, exactly. Who
House
will,
Jones.
Who will win? Yeah. And that makes sense. Lodge are sort of, I mean, they're the
Lannisters.
The Lannisters, definitely. Yeah.
So who would Tinian be?
Who'd what?
Who would be the Lannisters? I guess Cersei would be Veronica.
Yeah, 100%.
Her dad would be Tywin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
We could actually. I could probably
this
do
could
this
go,
all day.
This could go pretty.
Yeah,
well.
We could do this. Someone should be drawing this right now and putting it on the internet.
I tweeted it already, so we're good.
You tweeted already?
Great.
Wow. Whew, a disaster.
Yeah. Somebody alert BuzzFeed. What if Archie was Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
They're probably on number 5 as we speak.
Yeah. There you go.
Any other? Archie genre mashup, maybe some sort of like sci-fi, Pete.
Sure. I was feeling the noir, although when you said I wouldn't like it to do, I would like to see it actually kind of both ways, like a funny kind of Archie noir, and then like a real
tongue-in-cheek
serious.
Noir.
Yeah.
Because
I feel like that would be kind of fun in that world.
Or a take on Fast and Furious, the slow and the clunky, about the jalopy.
Not go 5 seconds without saying the word jalopy.
The jalopy is the one thing that really takes me out of the Archie
story.
It's not
the first time that I've heard about jalopy races this week. It came up yesterday.
See, I'm plugged in, bro. I'm in the wheelhouse. I'm in the zeitgeist,
you
in other words that
people
say.
You were tapped in, yeah.
Yeah.
the words that people say.
It's great.
I like all these ideas. Anybody else? Question. It doesn't just have to be about Archie. It can be about literally anything your mind can imagine. If you can imagine it, we can believe it.
What a P.T. Barnum we have over here.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. This microphone is very short. Everything you want, everything you need.
So let's say that you're Archie, gentlemen.
Okay.
I'm listening.
Which lady do you choose?
Ooh. Great. Real Veronica.
Why do we have to choose a lady?
Okay.
Oh.
Controversial.
Checkmate. Yeah.
So you choose...
hamburgers?
I don't know. Cool. Okay, cool. Chocolate shop.
Pop.
I'll tell you what. All my life I was reading that. I was like, why doesn't he just go with Betty? Betty's great.
Yeah, that's what I was... Yeah.
But I'll tell you what. I definitely am always dating Veronica. I would have to say, based on my track record, Veronica.
Why do you say that? Is it because you're dating a lot of rich ladies with
no?
Yeah, what's the
daddy
backstory?
Issues or what's going on?
No, just I feel like Veronica's a little bit more of a hard-headed.
Now, just to check, you're engaged, right?
I'm engaged to a real Veronica.
So you're saying your fiance is a horrible harpy.
I'm not. Veronica's not a horrible harpy. She's just tough as hell. Yeah. She's just tough as hell, and that's
mean. She is mean to Betty.
Yeah, but have you met his fiance?
To Betty, they're best friends.
But not really. She's terrible to Betty. Betty's the good friend there.
The good friend of Veronica?
Alex, who would you
choose?
No,
now I'm worried about your marriage.
What, my marriage?
Nah, it's going to be fine.
Yeah,
I should.
I'm worried about everybody's marriage.
You should read Life with Justin. The issue where he dies is coming up soon. Do not tell me how it ends.
There was probably a point where I would have chosen Veronica, but I think, Betty's probably the one.
You went to Betty?
Yeah, I went to Betty.
Now why? Because it's easier?
I would call her easier.
What is that?
Huh?
What is the upside of marrying Veronica? Money?
No, it's not about money. It's about the people, Alex.
It seems like you're all about the money.
Me?
Yeah.
No, I'm not. I never said a thing about money. I said someone who's like tough, who's hard. She's always like, Archie, get your shit together.
Well, just to check.
She's like, Archie, get rid of all your comic books in our apartment.
I don't remember that.
Here's your money.
Huh, that's weird.
That's weird. It seems very specific.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No, it's definitely not about the money. But I think there's an attraction that I guess I must have in me where it's like that sort of woman who's a little bit tougher, a little more of a challenge, who is like, you have that strong personality.
Yeah, one's blonde, the other one's not.
Yeah, then that's a big factor.
Cool. Pete, did you answer Betty?
Yeah, I'm Betty. Yeah.
Why Betty?
Yeah,
Betty.
What's that?
Why Betty?
Oh.
Feel free to throw Midge in the mix.
Yeah, sure.
Ethel,
Josie,
Big
one of
Ethel.
The Pussycats.
Oh, yeah. I mean.
Jughead.
Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Jughead.
Girls and bands are cool. I mean.
Oh, yeah, Sabrina.
Yeah.
Sabrina would be good.
No, she's dealing with some bad magic.
Yeah.
She's got a talking cat.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Yeah, man.
Wow. Who did you choose? You chose hamburgers? That's your answer?
Yep. Hamburgers.
Cool, man.
How's
your wife doing?
She's hamburgers.
She's hamburgers, man. My wife is hamburgers.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. She smells like ketchup.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Great. I think we could take one more question.
Yeah, that's a great
if anybody
question.
Has, anybody who hasn't asked a question, somebody who hasn't been to the show before, literally anything, movies, television, comic books.
Step right up. Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Any question, we'll take any question at all.
Answer any question of the world. Absolutely anything.
Question about you? Question about us?
No.
Oh, here we go.
You, sir, over there that I've never met before, that would like lots of comic books tonight.
If you could assemble your favorite team of artist, inker, and writer to do your favorite hero. Sorry, I didn't think this through. like a dream team of comics, artists, colorist, inker, penciler, and writer to do any hero, who would they be and who would the hero be?
Jeez, get the, the colorist
dream,
in there.
Dream comic. Well, what do you guys think? Dream team. What's your dream team?
Dream team? Well, Michael Jordan.
Wayne Gretzky.
Wayne Gretzky.
And Michael Bo Jackson.
Yeah!
Michael Jordan on color.
Stars.
Pro stars.
Jordan Jam in your face. Good morning, like guys in the place.
Currently working in comics or just... Unlimited.
Yeah, well, you guys have an awesome lineup for covers for the Death of Archie storyline.
Yeah, we got Cliff Chang, Alex Ross, Fiona Staples.
That's nice.
Francesco did
Mike
one. Mike Allred, yes.
Yeah. If you could get anybody to do interiors for an Archie comic, who would it be? literally
I would
anybody.
Love to see Fiona do a Josie and the Pussycats comic.
Oh, that's
awesome.
She did
that one Life with Archie variant where they're just like kind of very gritty, modern, like Lower East Side punk rock band, and I would read the hell out of that. So
cool.
That's very cool.
What about you guys? Dream team for anything?
I'm going to say Brian Azzarello and Jim Lee doing The Punisher.
Who's writing? Who's drawing?
Brian Azzarello's writing.
Oh, okay.
Okay, controversial.
Jim did The Punisher for a little bit.
Who's coloring it?
Dexter
Vines.
Yeah.
Nice.
Wow.
The only colorist name you know?
Mm-hmm. Dave Stewart.
Great. I would say Starman, drawn by Jay Lee, I think.
Oh. Ooh.
I like that.
Twist.
Sort of a twist. Written by the host of Comic Book Club.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Me? The hosts.
Yes.
Not
oh,
you.
Oh, hosts. Okay.
Yeah. You. If you were talking about yourself, you had to say co-host.
Huh? Yeah. What? Huh? What did you? What's your answer, Alex?
Oh boy, Brian Hitch on a Cypher series.
Waste.
Wow. So the Doug Ramsey Chronicles?
Yeah, the Doug Ramsey Chronicles. It'd be
oh,
awesome.
Man, that's super cool.
Man, I don't know. I mean, I love just mentioning Mike Allred. I love him so much. And what he's been doing for our Marvel lately kind of feels like dream level. Him doing a Silver Surfer book is the best thing ever.
Yeah,
it's so
cool.
Good. Particularly Dan Slott writing. But Mike Allred drawing Silver Surfer stuff is fantastic. It's so
that
cool.
First issue was great, too. We didn't talk about it on the show, I don't think, but it was really like a fun surprise.
Yeah, I mean,
issue.
It was straight up Doctor Who. It was Dan Slott finally getting to write his Doctor Who comic. But
see, I don't know
awesome.
About Doctor Who, so I guess
well,
I'm just pleasantly surprised. I guess.
Yeah, there you go.
I'd love to see Azzarello and like Chris Samnee do something together.
Ooh.
I mean,
that's cool.
Yeah,
cool.
I mean, he's going to be doing Daredevil for forever.
The rest of his
probably.
Life,
yeah.
If so. We all have our say.
It's a sweet gig.
Cool. There you go. All right. That's it for your audience questions.
Yeah.
Guys.
All right.
We're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
We're talking about it.
We'd like to call it. I would say we love to call it that.
In the Week in Geek, we're going to talk about some geek culture topics, things happening elsewhere in the world of geek that aren't comic books, but comic book related, specifically Captain America 2.
Ooh, yeah.
Woo-hoo. This weekend. We all saw it, and by we all saw it, I mean 50% of the people on stage actually saw Captain America 2.
And some of the audience, hopefully.
Yeah, there we go. But,
spoiler alert.
If people got to leave, it's understandable.
Yeah.
Don't leave. Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm sure you're going to be all spoilery, and I'm going to...
We are.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, I feel like, I don't know, I saw it a month ago, so it feels kind of old to me.
Oh, my God.
So
yes.
Really?
That's
how you're starting this? I don't even want to talk about it anymore.
That's how you're starting
this? I'm just not interested.
Are you choking on your microphone yet?
let me guess. You really thought the first half was great, but then the second half struggled a little bit, but then...
I think it's the best Marvel movie.
Really?
You sort of half made that statement, and now you're going all the way.
I did. I can go for it. I've thought about it.
The best Marvel movie.
The best Marvel movie.
Really?
Really.
Are you thinking of Avengers?
Yeah.
Iron Man 1.
Yeah.
Are those Marvel movies?
I think so. Yes, they are. I believe they are.
So, yes. Pete, what did you think? I mean, I've talked about this a little bit on the show.
I didn't think it was as good as Avengers, but I thought it was absolutely fantastic. I loved it. It was just, from start to finish, was just unbelievable.
A roller coaster?
And the fight sequences were awesome.
They were great.
Winter Soldier, the way he was flipping that knife around, and it was just, oh.
Spoiler.
So badass.
I mean, don't tell me about any other knife work in the movie.
Yeah.
It's like a food tray.
How were the food spreads?
Oh, man. There wasn't enough food. I feel like that was the only thing that
was... Third, there's knife play, food trays, and what was the third thing?
Cape work.
Cape work, yeah.
That was no capes.
No capes.
Oh, real disappointing.
Yeah.
If you go to Pete's Picks, which is a movie review site, you'll see in his review, it just needs more capes.
And I love the...
capes were
lacking. On the left bit, I love that. That was really awesome. I thought it was hilarious. There was a scene in an Apple store. That was pretty cool. That was really...
I did see that. The actor, D.C. Pearson.
Pearson was in it. A bunch of other good comedian people were in it that I won't spoil.
Yeah. Here's
why I think it's best.
Did you catch the fact that there was also a D.C. Marvel crossover in the middle of the movie? They had the villain from Batman sitting in on that panel with Robert Redford. And I was like, holy shit.
Which villain for Batman?
The Asian dude. Yeah, exactly. Oh, he was the banker.
That's the second time you've said the Asian.
Yeah. It's becoming a little.
You are sorry. Losing ground.
I don't know his name.
Yeah. Did you also notice that the bad guy from Lost was also there? So it was a crossover.
He
with
wasn't
Lost.
The bad guy. Wait, I haven't seen the movie. I don't know what I'm talking about.
I'm talking about the Asian guy.
Are you spoiling Lost now, too?
Yeah.
And, yeah, the guy from Sneakers was in it, so that was a crossover.
If we want to review Sneakers, I could watch that all weekend long.
Robert Redford is like, if I get called the guy from Sneakers one more time, yeah. No,
I mean,
Sundance Festival
the whole,
for you
like,
great movie, Sneakers.
I didn't think I was going to like some of the stuff so much, but like seeing some of the people be like, hey, Elijah, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah. Here's the reason that I think it's the best Marvel movie is I love Avengers. Last Hour Avengers is incredible. There are moments that are more fun than pretty much any movie that's ever been made.
Right.
But this movie is consistent throughout, has very mature character arcs for everybody, really explores the character and pushes things forward in a really exciting, interesting way. At the end of the movie, I felt like, even though it's 2.5 hours long, I wanted to see more of it. So I don't know. That's why. The
both?
More I thought about it, the more
did
it
you stay
on.
For after the credits?
No, I left as soon as it was done. I didn't really think bored. There would be anything. I had to go.
Oh, okay, it's too bad.
Yes,
you missed something.
Yes, of course.
Okay.
What did you think about the mid-credit scene, Pete?
I wasn't. I like the after-credit scene better than the mid-credit.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the opposite of everything that I've heard from everybody else.
Well, I'm Pete different. Pete swims downstream.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, cool.
Goes his own way.
Yeah.
There you go. It's a great movie. You guys should check it out.
Yeah.
Who here has seen it?
I mean the...
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wow. I feel especially shame. Because most everyone.
Also, I want to say, like, Samuel Jackson got to kick some ass in this one. Like,
he did. Everybody did. This was also, I think, the best Black Widow movie. That was the other thing about it, is she came off really well in the movie. Yeah. I was excited about what she did, and they moved her also to a very
Also, I love
place,
that funny bit of her asking about ladies for him the whole time. I thought that was pretty funny, too.
The thing that I think is great about this movie is I think it works. This is going to sound kind of dumb, but it works as a movie, not just as a superhero movie, not just as a Marvel movie, but as a legit action thriller, political thriller movie that really does stand up there with some of the best action movies.
When they revealed who the Winter Soldier was, and I don't want to spoil it for you because you probably haven't read the comics.
I'll be honest, I don't read any comics.
There was a lot of gasp in the audience, and I was like, really?
Gasps.
You're like, oh, come on.
I was like, people
read a book.
Yeah, they were, it was pretty cool.
Well, you guys have really given me a lot to think about, and I'm going to going to see this movie.
Yeah. How long did it take you to see Amazing Spider-Man? What was it, 6 months, a year?
I haven't fully watched that. I haven't watched the whole movie yet.
Oh, God, you're the worst. You're the worst guy. Speaking of Cap 2, it was successful enough this weekend that they announced on Monday that Captain America 3 is coming out May 6, 2016, going right up against Batman versus Superman, which it looks like is not budging.
They made a pretty big. I couldn't believe they made that statement already.
Yeah,
that news came
but
out.
But I'm sure
what
time goes
what do you guys
on
think about this?
So
I think there's two things to talk about. One, what is Captain America 3 going to be about? You can't weigh in because you haven't seen the movie. But
I don't know. Shields, shield throwing. I could guess.
Shield throwing.
He throws it. He throws that shield.
No, not in this movie. He doesn't.
I bet he does a little bit.
Yeah, no,
I bet it gets all damaged from being shot at. And what about those knife tricks?
Oh, jeez.
What am I doing?
Well, what do you guys think about this matchup? Are we finally going to get that Marvel-DC matchup everybody's been asking for? Alex, you
I mean, I think it's pretty... It's the kind of thing that I don't think affects the regular moviegoer. I think if you want to see both movies, you'll end up seeing them both that weekend or see one the following weekend. But
I don't know. I feel like... Let me just say, it's hard to see a movie on a weekend sometimes. You know, and so your weekend fills up with all sorts of stuff. I don't
know.
Weddings. Two movies. But I do feel like it puts them in. It's not just about just getting the dollars in, which I'm sure is a huge factor, but it's like winning the day. It's winning the weekend.
Right, and the window, I think, for a movie to succeed is so much smaller. Before, you could build some actual momentum after a month or two. And
plus,
know,
I mean, whoever
it's on
has
DVD a few months later.
Whoever has the big weekend, it's going to be deemed the better movie just by the way.
Or the winner.
Yeah, but also the Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman movie has changed dates so much. I doubt that that's going to stay.
Well, let's say they do stay. Which one's going to win?
I mean, I think Batman Superman might win. That's why I feel like it's a
I would
it's a
see
third
that before,
Captain America movie. Yeah. It's something where, like, unless it's a real move, like, think about Iron Man 3. Like, that was a big movie, but, like, it wasn't, like,
that was,
flat.
I think, the number two opening of all time.
Yeah, but it wasn't, like, the flag and the if it was up against a movie that was, like, because that's, like,
if it was
Warner's
up against Man
DC.
Of Steel.
Sure.
Yeah, that's, like, Warner and DC's, like, this is our shit.
I just
and
feel like the more sequels you have, there's diminishing returns.
Yeah.
Usually.
Except here's the reason that I think it – I agree with you just because they're throwing Batman into the mix, and I feel like a Batman movie is going to fly, no pun intended, more than a Superman movie.
Not technically. He does have a cape.
Captain America 2, pretty much across the board, everybody loves it. It's doing fantastically. Yeah. People are super excited about what's going to come next. It's the Marvel movie that's coming, not directly after, but it's coming after Avengers Age of Ultron, which is pretty much guaranteed to be one of the biggest movies, if not the biggest movie of all time. So setting that up, you're going to have Captain America 3 coming into this place where it's going to be gigantic. Like, it's going to be one of the hugest movies ever.
And what I give Marvel credit for is they're going to be like, oh, yeah, you're making a little movie about Batman and Superman? Cool, 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 cool. Well, we're going to just release this awesome Avengers movie, and then we're going to decide to make Captain America 3 awesome. And we're going to put it up against your big movie and see you later.
Yeah, and the other thing is people were very mixed about Man of Steel. It's not like Man of Steel 2 or whatever they're calling it is coming off of this critical acclaim that everybody loved this movie and everybody's super excited about it. Everybody's going to see it because it's Batman and Superman on screen, but it's not a sure shot the way that, at this point, Captain America 3 is.
Yeah, I mean, is Kevin Costner going to be in Captain America 3 just being like, I'm going to go hang out with this tornado for a while?
He's back. He's like, oh, wait, I'm back for the tornado.
Yeah,
I wouldn't
underestimate the Batman factor, though. I think there's just people that are just, no matter who's playing Batman, will go see the movie because of Batman.
Yeah, so. I know. And like all the Ben Affleck heads are going to be out.
All
the Daredevil fans are going to be like, this is like Daredevil. I'll go see him.
Yeah.
All the town fans.
You're a horrible person. last little thing. Nathan Fillion revealed this weekend that he may or may not be in Guardians of the Galaxy somewhere. Specifically, he said, somebody asked him, hey, are you going to be in a Marvel movie like Guardians of the Galaxy? And he said, I'm going to be? Maybe I already am. Maybe you should check the credits.
Well, you know what? In light of that, I'd like to make a statement. I may or may not be in Guardians of the Galaxy as well.
Really?
So,
I guess now is the right time to let everyone know I may be in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Exactly. Okay, I should let everybody know I'm not in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Thank you for coming clean.
I'm not.
The rumors are flying around.
What do you guys think? He's Thanos, right?
I mean, that's a weird choice.
No, he's not Thanos.
I got to think he's...
Quasar?
Interesting. Ooh. Well, the movie, who knows what the movie's going to be about? But he could be
Scott
Summers'
number
dad,
two.
One of the Star Jammers, would be cool.
Yeah, Corsair.
If they fly around.
Oh, that would be awesome.
He could be the King of Spartax.
Oh, that would be pretty cool. Jason?
Huh? Jason, yeah.
Yeah.
Why? What's his fucking smile?
No, just excited about it being in a movie. I'd love it to be anything.
Okay. Well, what do you think?
I think they're going to be like in an alien bazaar somewhere, and somebody's going to be like, come buy this thing! And that's going to be Nathan Fillion.
Wow.
I think he's going to have a voice. And
you don't think it'll be like a random Firefly crossover?
He's going to show up as Mal?
Why not?
That would be the best thing of all time.
That would be insane.
That is not happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fox is like, you know what, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But I don't know, Joss is over there in the mix. Like, what if they just are like, oh, yeah, sure.
Whatever,
And he just, like, walks up.
I guess you could have, like, Serenity float by somewhere, right?
Yeah,
And that Serenity is in the Marvel Universe, and then, like, they get a new movie, and it's rebooted.
Serenity Comics.
Yeah, and they're in the Avengers and stuff and whatever.
Speaking of that, I just thought of something I wanted to ask you because you saw Captain America.
Well, this is the time to ask me questions.
Great, good. did you like the Pulp Fiction reference in Captain America?
Marcellus Wallace's soul.
Did you like that? Did you think that was funny? I thought that was awesome.
Is that who the Winter Soldier is? Marcellus Wallace?
Pete. Did you like it?
Does Zed die in this one as well?
Jesus Christ. I can't tell if you're attacking me or
did you like it?
Yes.
All right, thank God. Because I thought some people said that was kind of bullshit, and I thought it was hilarious.
Do you want him to elaborate beyond just yes?
No, I just wanted to see if he was on board because I thought that was pretty...
You could have asked me that at any point.
I just thought of it when you said the crossover with
If you have any more questions, just text him maybe or something.
Okay, all right. Yeah, maybe wait till after the show.
If you talk to my assistant...
Yeah, that's me. Unfortunately.
Oh, man, that's a shitty game.
It's a hard life, bro.
Cool, that's it for the week. Geek!
Yeah!
Okay, guys, We're going to move on with our next section, which is trivia. For that, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Peter LePage.
Dr. Peter LePage.
All right,
PDF.
Guys, this is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for coming. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics, because if you had $25, you'd spend it on comics, right? Who would like $25 free? Simple raising of the hand will work. A simple raising of your... Yes.
Yes, you, sir.
You, sir. Come on up.
Come on up. Come on up. Come on up.
All right, sir. Take that microphone. What is your name?
Colin.
Colin. Audience. Audience. Colin.
Yeah.
Hi, Colin. Okay, so, Colin, how this is going to work is I'm going to ask you a question. You listen to all three possible answers. As long as you've read every comic that came out this week, you should have no problem answering these questions. All right. Here we go. And Aquaman and the Others, number one, which was sweet, by the way. I really liked it.
Oh, wow.
What is stolen in this issue besides gold? Is it A, powers, B, good guys, or is it C, Peter Mayhew better be reprising his fucking role for the next fucking Star Wars movie? What the fuck kind of thing is that to say?
Really, Barry?
So it's either A, powers, or it's B. Don't pick B. Don't do it.
Is it A, powers?
You are correct, sir. Nice job.
Nice.
Cool. In Punisher number 4, we see Punisher being tortured by blank. Is it A, Kingpin, B, Electro, or is it C? Hey, so now that S.H.I.E.L.D. is disbanded, can we all as a group just agree not to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. anymore? Is that cool? Can we all be on that same page?
Really burying your
so it's either spoiler. A, Kingpin, or it's B, Electro. B.
B?
Yes, nice job.
Nice.
All right, here we go. Last question. And Deadpool versus Carnage number 1. We first see Deadpool eating what? Is it A, mac and cheese? B, or is it B, tacos? Or is it C, hey, Quicksilver, stop eating sloppily at Carl's Jr. That shit is disgusting. What the fuck? So it's either A, mac and cheese, which is correct, or it's B, tacos. What do you think?
Let's go with A.
A is correct, sir. $25 free for Colin.
Oh. Amazing, amazing.
Trivia has really become a real soapbox for you.
It's the only time I really get to talk uninterrupted.
I would love to
you
try
just to... You just screamed at me for 15 solid minutes about Captain America.
Did I?
Yeah.
Yes.
I feel like I don't think that
But
really
I will
happened.
Say I did try to interrupt him a lot.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Deadpool number 27.
Oh, what happens?
Oh, what's up
with it? It's a big buildup.
What's he...
Oh, there's a buildup?
Yeah, it's been a big buildup.
I gotta pick up that issue.
Yeah.
Things are happening.
Yeah. It's the big wedding issue.
Even
Deadpool can get married. So, I mean, there's hope for everybody.
Yeah, I think this is an oversized... Is it 100 pages or something like that?
Yeah, it's an oversized issue.
It won the Guinness World Record for most characters on a cover. Very exciting.
Oh, wow. What a record to break.
Yeah, there you go. The previous record was 2.
Nice.
Challenging.
I'm looking forward to... I guess Walking Dead, actually. Number 125, I believe, is coming out.
Rick is...
It's coming up to the end of the All Out War storyline, and I think this is the penultimate chapter. I feel like something big is going to happen in this issue, and the next one's going to be sort of epic.
Yeah, I read a quote today, actually, from Robert Kirkman, where he said that something big happened. This is from years ago. He said he planned something big to happen in issue number 125, and that it sets things up to he knows where he's going through issue 200.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that changed at some point, but it'll be really interesting.
So Rick dies.
No, I don't think Rick's going to die.
I think that's what he's saying.
No, we already argued about this when we realized he wasn't sweating as much as the other characters.
Oh, that's right.
If you remember, listeners can go back and listen to that genius argument we had on a previous episode.
Who won the argument?
Well, there was no argument because we just pointed at the comic. We're like, look, he's not sweating, and it's a different person.
And then I was like, oh.
Oops.
Yeah, there you go. I'm looking forward to all new Dupe number one is coming out tomorrow from Marvel Comics. This is art, I think, by David Marquez, and it's written by Peter Milligan, who wrote X-Status and X-Force back in the day, which is an amazing comic if you never read it.
He's a great writer.
I can't wait to check that out.
Let's see how they reinvent that little Dupe.
Yeah, he's the best character. He's amazing. One other thing that I want to mention, Batman Eternal number one is coming out tomorrow. Kick it off 52 weeks.
I didn't know we could talk about two comics.
Sure.
Yeah, way to spoil it. That
we
was
always
mine.
Can. Scott's. Oh, did I spoil yours?
That's okay.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Batman Eternal. They did a flash forward, I believe, in Batman 28, where you got to see even further than issue one. But
yeah.
The idea of a weekly Batman comic written by, I guess, coordinated by Scott Snyder with James Tynion and all those guys.
Very cool.
Sounds awesome.
How, having previously worked at DC, is it nice to be able to read this stuff as a fan, or do you still find out about it?
I mean, it's a bummer to have to pay for them now, but it's cool.
You should marry
it
a Veronica.
Cool to just read it and enjoy it and not think about, oh, where are we going to announce this, or how's this going to play here? It's great. And it's nice to just follow creators I like Scott, and see what they're doing.
Cool.
Yeah. It's expensive to buy your own comics, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. Okay.
Yeah, well, are you all right,
Peach has taught you an important lesson.
This is a very somber episode.
Yeah, well,
I just want to mention about Batman Eternal number one that I've actually read the issue.
Here we go. Yeah,
all right. Wait, hold on.
Can we just go one show?
Yeah, it's cool. I saw Jurassic World, and it's cool. They're dinosaurs.
Some of them die.
No, I just want to tell you guys, if you aren't interested in picking up a Batman title or anything like that, the first page of this issue is probably one of the biggest holy shit moments in Batman history.
What?
Seriously.
Page what?
You've got to stop saying shit like
one.
This.
No, I am not overselling this. You pick it up, you will want to read the rest of the series, I guarantee it.
Oh, my God, you're overselling.
Well, that's cool. We are going to really get after you next week.
We'll see what happens. Plug your stuff. What should people check out?
They should check out Life with Archie. We should check out Afterlife with Archie, which is, I think, one of the best comics on the stands.
Agreed.
And if you're feeling generous, you can pick up my first novel, Silent City, which is on sale.
Yeah.
Cool. And what? Where can people check out your stuff? Twitter? Do you have a website?
You can follow me on Twitter, Alex_Segura or alexsegura.com.
All right. There we go. Couple of things before we go. Pete, what do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Yep.
Check out our...
Do you have a secret to tell us, Pete?
No.
You're weird, man. You've been a weird dude tonight.
Check out our website, comicbookclublive.com, nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people you want to thank. We want to thank our fabulous interns, Iman Bell, Summer Dar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, Riley Trahan. We want to thank Alex for being on the show.
Yeah.
We want to thank everybody here at Fontana's.
Thanks, everybody.
But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We are every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.